situate it. Right there. Tall people problem, sorry. Can't fix anything. Good morning, Boulevard. I'm so excited. Ooh, man, y'all learned quick. Good. Amen. Y'all awoke this morning. Good morning, Boulevard. I'm so excited to share God's word with you this morning. We're going to be continuing in our sermon series called Journeying with Jesus. And today's title of today's sermon is Journeying with Jesus into Opposition. Journeying with Jesus into Opposition. And today we find our passage today in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. It's printed in your bulletin, and I actually don't know the page number in the Pew Bible this Sunday, so I can bear with you while you get there. When you get there, say amen. And as you're getting there, I want to talk about something real quick. It's called dialogical liturgy. And you say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? See, in my tradition, because every tradition has a liturgy, our liturgy is dialogical. So that means that it's just not me up here talking. See, we're having a conversation about the goodness of God. Amen, church? Amen. So if you hear me say something that you agree with, then what you say is amen. See, we're going to start with 101 this Sunday. Then we can go to the next level. But this Sunday, 101 is if you hear something that you agree with, that's ministering to you, or it hits you where you're at right now, you can say amen. So if I say something like, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
All right. Oh, come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay. I might run up out of here, but just that's what we're going to work on this Sunday, church. All right. Yeah, you will not interrupt me. You will encourage me. All right, let's pray for our time today, then read our text. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to get into your word, Lord Jesus. We pray that you just walk with us. I pray that you let Anthony Johnson decrease and you increase, Lord, to minister to the hearts in this room today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All righty. Man, I think this is a little bit too high. Oh, that's perfect. All right, Luke chapter 12. I'm going to start reading at verse 1 and end at verse 12. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together, they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. After that, they have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you of whom to fear. Fear him after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God, while even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more valued than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before man, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Growing up, we used to play a game called hide and go seek. For those of y'all that may not be familiar with hide and go seek, come on, it's young people in here. they may not have played hide and go seek. So you pick somebody that's it, and they gotta count to 10, they close their eyes, and other people go hide, and people got to go find them. So now, some of us in this room was the kid that was always found first. No matter what the game was, no matter who was playing, you always got found first. But this is why you're in the house of the Lord to get the healing that you need this morning. So you would take count to 10, and you would go find people that you're looking for if you were it. Brothers and sisters, today it's not popular to be a Christian. And then it's my fear, brothers and sisters, that maybe we've become hide-and-go-seek Christians. That people got to go find us to know that we follow Jesus. But brothers and sisters, what we need to remember this morning is, because we have God's protection, we can have gracious opposition to the world. Notice I said gracious opposition, and not violent or not just go in on people. I'm saying, because we have God's protection, we can have gracious opposition to the world. For the purpose of the sermon, I want to define what I mean by the world. Now, I don't mean to oppose the literal physical world, but what I mean by world is the system that operates against God's law, mercy, and love. The system that operates against God's mercy, law, and love. And so you may ask, how do we have gracious opposition to the world? And that brings me to my first point, which is, because we have God's protection, church, we reflect on all teaching. Because we have God's protection, we reflect on all teaching. Read with me in verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So Jesus is with his disciples, and they're beginning to get crowded. And I like how the text said it. It's that they were beginning to trample one another. And then Jesus looks at his disciples, and I like how it says also that it says his disciples first. So this just isn't a message to his disciples in that time. It's the message for everybody, everyone that would read this text. And he says this, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, when Jesus is talking about leaven right here, church, what he's talking about is the teaching of the Pharisees. And how we know that he's talking about the teaching of the Pharisees, I'm glad that you're paying attention to the text. If you go back in chapter 11, there were 6 woes to the Pharisees and the scribes, and it was all pertaining to their teaching. So it's not that much of an exegetical leap, brothers and sisters, to say what Jesus, when he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," that he was referring back to the teaching of the Pharisees. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus wants the disciples and the people following him to do is he wants them to be able to reflect on every message that they hear, to be able to reflect on every message that they hear. Brothers and sisters, it's my belief that a lot of us in this room, including myself, we need to weed out some messages in our life that's telling us to go against God's way, God's plan, that there's things that we need to root out and weed out so God can actually work with us. But I can't camp out there right there, Pastor, because I got to keep going. Now, when I was growing up, we used to go trick-or-treating. Now, we used to get excited about trick-or-treating. We used to, like, dress up in nice costumes. We would always, you know, kind of hook our costumes up. We never got the cool costumes from Walmart, you know what I'm saying? So we had to, like, you know, if you had a Power Rangers, you didn't get the whole costume. You got the Power Rangers shirt, you know what I'm saying? and then you were a Power Ranger. And so we would start in our neighborhood around 6 o'clock, go door-to-door. Hit up every house in the neighborhood, get our bucket of a candy, then we hop right on in that car, go on down to Auntie Jeanette's house down in Douglasville, Georgia. They was west of where we was at. We'd get out there, get a trick-or-treat on there, and we get home around 9 o'clock. Now, when you a kid and you just don't got that treasure and you don't got all that candy, the only thing that you want to do is eat all of it, right? You want to eat all of it because you work hard for that candy. But we could never have a piece the night of because my mom would always have to check every piece of the candy. And now that I'm a parent myself, I know that there's no way in the world that her and my dad didn't take a piece of candy while we were asleep. I just know it now. But anyway, they had to inspect every piece of candy, brothers and sisters. when it comes to the messages that we take in, we got to inspect the candy. Do we trust our favorite Christian teacher more than we trust Jesus? And I hope I don't get in too much trouble with saying this. Do we trust Keller more than we trust Jesus? Do we trust Calvin more than we trust Jesus? Do we trust N.T. Wright more than we trust Jesus? Do we trust Reverend Charlie Dates more than we trust Jesus? Do we trust Marshall Hatch more than we trust Jesus? Do we trust the world's message about race, sexuality, and gender, or do we trust Jesus? Brothers and sisters, what are the messages that we're listening to that we trust more than Jesus? Brothers and sisters, now that we know that we need a spirit of reflection, we need to know that there's a threat. And that brings me to my second point. Because we have Jesus' protection, we need to remember that there is a threat. Read with me in verse 2. Jesus says to his disciples after he says, "Beware of the Pharisees of the teaching." Where are the Pharisees? This is why he said, when he's saying beware of the Pharisees, that's their spiritual heroes. These were the guys that were getting it. Now, if you're going to go against popular teaching or preachers or teachers, you're going to find yourself in trouble. So he tells them this. He says, "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on housetops." Now, there's two ways, I think, that are exegetically sound to take this passage. The first way is Jesus is telling his disciples, when you stand against the Pharisees' teachings, when you stand against Rome, you have to have wisdom. You just can't go out there all like that, all like willy-nilly, and just say anything in the public square and expect things just not to go well. So he's telling his disciples, make sure that you have wisdom, because things are going to get exposed. Even if you're trying to hide, your things are going to get exposed. So he's saying, make sure that you have wisdom in what you do. Yes. Another way to take it is, you could take it in just the opposite way. Jesus might say, well, stuff is going to get exposed anyway, so you might as well, you know, let your flag fly. Let's go get it. You know what I'm saying? And brothers and sisters, I go back and forth, but I think the best way to take what he's saying in verses 2 and 3 is that he's talking about both. There's sometimes where it's not always the wisest thing to go up and say to people, you know what? You know, you're really a sinner. And you really need to repent. It's not always the wisest thing in every situation to do that. But in other situations, we actually may have to have that kind of boldness. So what I think Jesus is asking his disciples to do is he's asking them to have a wise boldness in proclaiming Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we're called to stand for Christ, but we're also called to have wisdom. This is why Jesus tells his disciples, be gentle as lamb, but wise as serpents. Church, I wonder sometimes if we turn people off to Christ because we haven't learned wisdom.